أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وموالاه رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت أن أول المسلمين. My dear brothers and sisters, I greet you with the greeting of Islam and I say to all of you individually and collectively from the bottom of my heart, Assalamu alaikum. I didn't hear you, Assalamu alaikum. I know you are hungry, you want to eat. And they told me no eating till you finish the program. So I feel sorry for you. I can cut it now and then you go and eat and then we come back here. But nevertheless, my dear brothers and sisters, also something else had happened. I didn't hear it properly. When somebody was telling you takbir, your Allahu Akbar was not as loud as it should be. I know you love Allah. And that what had happened a few minutes ago with the mechanical and electrical, because we did not say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem several times loudly. And we did not raise the voice of Allahu Akbar loudly. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy worked it out for us. So let me see now, so as no shaitan will come and disturb us again. Let me hear from you three times, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. And let me see if anyone is going to say takbir, how many of you are going to say takbir? Each one of us has to say it loudly to scare every jinn, every shaitan to run away and to bring angels from heaven to bless all of you. Takbir. 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 My dear brothers and sisters, we are very thankful and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who invited us tonight here. It's not only the Mina and the Care and the Masjid al-Iman and all the other masajid who invited us. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who invited us and you accepted the invitation. My thanks and appreciation after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for those organizations who invited us. And my thanks and appreciation to Imam Ra'id Awad, whom he said we know each other. By the way, when he was introducing me, I was looking, what is that personality that he is talking about? Is he alive or he's dead? Usually, when people read about the autobiography of somebody, means, you know, eulogy, ta'ziyah. When somebody is dead, they want to introduce him to the audience so as they may raise hands and say, Allah yirhamu. Rahmatullahi alayh. Yeah. At any rate, all what he said is past history, so what, who cares? In Arabic we say kana, kana fi'al madi naqis. Fi'al madi naqis, it was, so what, who cares for the past? We want today. Let us see today what's going to happen. My thanks also for Fuad Karim, who tried to make all the arrangement for me, as well as Arslan, who came to the airport with Imam Ra'id, and with Brother Farhan, who brought me here. And my thanks tonight to you, because without you, we'll be just sitting here talking to the angels. We are talking to the angels, and you are also angels, and your babies who are sitting now are the true angels who are human angels here. So they brought me yesterday from California, and I was traveling from yesterday till now. Think of yourself how many hours it took you to come here, and how many hours it took me to come here. It took me from 11 o'clock last night, going from home to the airport, and from airport to airport to airport, in order to come to you here. And I'm supposed to leave you 5 o'clock in the morning, from airport to airport to airport, to go to another community in California to take care of them. So your time is so precious tonight, and I know it's not easy for you to stay any minute. You had enough speakers who spoke to you now, more than what you expect from me, but I have no choice because they brought me here to speak. I hope you'll give me a few minutes of your precious time in order to communicate with each other to see what we should do. Most of you came recently to America, Me came 36 years ago when Muslims were not here except few hundred thousand. And even MSAs of the whole America was not there. And the whole MSAs independently were not more than 10 MSAs in the whole America. And there were no communities at that time, immigrant communities at all, except the African-American communities. But now, wherever I go, I see thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. I see the third generation from the immigrant of my age who came here, mashallah. But I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that something is going to happen in the near future. Now, you brought me from California, while you have the best speakers here. And anytime we talk about California, I'm not from California, I'm from Chicago, originally. I have lived in Chicago and Illinois for 27 years before we moved to California. Because why? I don't know. We are all immigrants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to move you from place to place every few years to let you know this is not your house. Your house is there. But there is a secret behind it, and it is good for the youth. Once I took my children to the Sira conference in California in Christmas, where Dr. Muzammil Siddiqui held that Sira conference. My children said, Dad, I said, what? They said, California has the good weather, Illinois, and Chicago has the bad weather in December. Why we are here in Chicago? I said, you were born in Chicago area. They said, no more. We want to go to California. Either we go or you go, or you stay. I said, no. Listen, take it seriously. This is a good lesson for all of us. The family that, in America, they say the family that eat together, they stay together. I said, no. The family that pray together, pray together, means the father has to pray with his wife and children every day, at least once a day. The family that pray together, eat together, travel together, go to masjid together, and go to umrah and hajj together, they will stay together. Never ever, and don't feel bad about it, and don't tell me I am an exception, don't allow your boys and girls to go out of state, out of your neighborhood to live on campuses, unless you are an exception. I have said it so many times, and many of them used to criticize me. Later they came and cry and say, you are right. I can tell you example after example, boys and girls who are being lost from their fathers and mothers because they are living at MIT, Harvard, Stanford, and big universities, and they lost their faith, except the very few, like you and me. We are still, Allah preserved us, even we left out of the country, but these are the exception that Allah gave us in Quran also. Quran gave us about Musa alayhi salam, exception. He lived in the palace of the Pharaoh. He stayed as a prophet, good Muslim. Also, Yusuf alayhi salam was an exception. He lived in the palace of Pharaoh, but even the wife of the king enticed him to commit haram, to have zina, and he refused. How many of our boys and girls, when a non-Muslima girlfriend comes to your boys, or a boy comes to your girl to entice them, you raise your boys and girls with love and affection and sympathy and concern. Ya Habibi, Ya Ayun, Ya Muhjata Qalbi. You are the murabbi for your boys and girls, but when they go to the campus, who is that to fill that gap of love, affection, spirituality? No one, except somebody who will tell your daughter, I love you. Oh, really? Yes. Or the reverse is true. And they get involved. I'm doing family counseling, by the way. And I'm seeing exactly daily what's going on all over America. And even outside America, what's happening, and people call me. If you are exception, alhamdulillah. But don't make the exception as a general rule. Now, the youth, I was planning to say California used to be the state of the golden state, huh? Now it is the bankruptcy state, the earthquake state, the fire brush, the gang, the bankruptcy, financially, morally, gang, drugs, as well as gay, homosexuality, as well as lesbian and whatnot. And what Allah is sending us is science to ruin the whole California out of the planet Earth. I said either you good Muslims go to the bad neighborhood and improve it so as the mercy of Allah will come. Otherwise, all of us will be hit and hurt. Here in Miami, they need you, Muslims. Muslims are in need in Miami. For that reason, Allah brought you here. Allah could have kept all the Muslims in the Muslim world. No, He said you should come to California and come to Florida and be in the bad neighborhood to improve it. Number two, Allah brought you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the bad neighborhood because there are honest, sincere Americans who are seeking the better way of life. They could not see it. There are 80 million Americans who are agnostic. They left their religions. They don't believe in any religion, but they believe in God. And Allah is bringing you Muslims to be a role model for them, to let them see the beauty of Islam. See these American brothers and sisters who are with us here. It's not you who made them Muslim. Allah made them Muslims. Not necessarily through you. But how many of you are going to be a role model to inspire, to motivate those agnostic, American, innocent, running away of all those churches and synagogues and temples and looking for a better way to God other than you yourselves? And if you are not going to cry daily, every night before you go to sleep and raise your hand and say, Allahumma ajma'na ala mahabbatik واستعملنا في طاعتك كيف شئت ومتى شئت وإلى من تشاء واجعلنا قدوة حسنة واجعلنا حجة لك يوم القيامة يا رب العالمين. Oh Allah, unite our hearts for your love and use us. Use us. Ask yourself, are you being used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis? Otherwise, in the day of judgment, those innocent Americans are going to say, Ya Allah, take the Muslims first, dump them in hell. There is a hadith about it. In the day of judgment, the non-Muslims, before being dumped in hell, they will say, Allah, dump the Muslims in hell first. The dialogue goes between Allah and those non-Muslims to teach us a lesson. Why should I dump the Muslim first in hell? They are criminals, Ya Allah. Why? Because they were with us. They never told us about this beautiful religion. They are criminals. So put them in hell before you put us in hell. So either we are going to be criminals in the Muslim world, and we are criminals here, or tonight, not tomorrow, because tomorrow it may not come. That each and every one of you tonight, you should cry to Allah and say, Allah, please, shukran, thank you for bringing me to America, whether from the Caribbean or from the other parts of the Muslim world, or even those now who are American born, you have to cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and request Allah subhanahu to use you in your specialty, medical doctor specialty, nuclear engineer specialty, internet specialty, engineer specialty, professor specialty, wife specialty, everyone. And you sisters, you are better da'iya than we brothers. If you see me in the street, you don't know I'm a Muslim or not, even a beard or no beard, who cares? But when you see a lady with hijab, we know that she is a Muslima in America and she is the best da'iya. You don't have to talk. Your dress is a symbol of talking about Islam. And we are proud of every sister who does like this. I know it's not easy. It was not easy 36 years ago. Now it's much easier, but still it's not easy. I am proud to see any Muslim sister anywhere in the world, when she dresses Islamically, she is better Muslim than any one of us. Although Allah knows the best. Huh? It's not the outside feature. Huh? Don't misunderstand, because of hijab, khalas you are, unless you practice. You pray, you fast, you read Quran, you make da'wah and all these things. So, the other thing that you are to request Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use you in making da'wah to deliver the message of Islam in this part of the world. And I hope and I pray those innocent Americans who are looking still for a better way of life will be inspired and motivated to come to Islam. 2 days ago, we had 25 Christian missionaries who came to our center to know more about Islam, about Muslims. We want to know how to deal with Muslims. You know, they want to know how to deal with us. You know what does it mean, how to deal with us? They want to see how, where is the loophole? You know, shaitan loophole, how to enter into your heart. I had to go all the way to the Vatican and stay 5 days with the Vatican, the Pope, the Cardinals, the Bishop, and dialogue daily. And they want to know how to deal with us and to find loopholes in Islam and the Muslim. They know that Muslims don't know their religion. They are Muslim by faith, by emotions. And you know, they have 3 Islamic universities in the Vatican. They teach Arabic, Sharia, فقه، حديث، سيرة، Quran, da'wah, khutab jum'ah, everything. They bring Christians and Muslims from the Muslim world to make them how to go and penetrate into the minds and the hearts of Muslims in the Muslim land. And when they speak Arabic, like an Arab. Those 2 days ago when the 25 Christians came to our center from Seventh-day Adventist, one of them was speaking Arabic like a Lebanese, oh. Another was speaking Libyan, oh. The other was speaking Urdu, exactly like an Urdu in Pakistan, better than even Pakistani. Another was speaking Punjabi like a Punjabi. And they know the mentality and the psychology of every boy and girl and mom and dad too. And they eat your food. And they said, please bring us the what? No meat. They are vegetarian. They said, tabbouli, hummus batahini, ta'miyya, all this, mjaddara, dardara. They know all this. And they are... How many of us, when you are in America, we know each and every mentality, the Hispanic background, the American Anglo-Saxon, the African-American, the Amish, the others and others and others, and how much we are integrating ourselves or delivering the message of Allah to all these. Now, to go back to square one, they told me to talk youth, and all of you are youth. None of you is an old person. Even if you are 80 years, you are still a youth. Youth is not age. I still remember when I was making the Hajj and Umrah, we were going to Ghar Hira some years ago. I was 40 years, and I saw some Afghanis, 80 years. And, you know, those who came from Lebanon, like myself from the mountains of Lebanon, we go up and down the mountains like goats. We are under, people talk about Lebanese like goats, and we go up and down to the mountains, and we run up and down, even barefooted, we don't care. But I saw the Afghanis 80 years old and running faster than me. I said, you are too old, how come you go fast? They said, what? You young boy? 40 years, I was a young boy, huh? 80 years, they are still young, because they live 120, 140 years. So whoever is 80 years here, you are still young. So I'm talking to all of you. And whoever reached the age of 40, you have reached the age of wisdom. So let me tell you that the youth, we Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Surah Al-Kahf for about youth who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were pressured to do something haram, and they refused. They ran away from the society to another society. They got tired and entered into a cave, and they lived in the cave. Dormancy, 300 years, solar system, 300 years plus 9, lunar system. And then they woke up. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدًى. About Ibrahim alayhi salam, when I went to the Vatican, I saw nothing but statues and idols, thousands and thousands. I said, I wish Ibrahim alayhi salam is with me. You know what does it mean? I would have taken the axe and start chopping one after the other. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he did it, they took him to the court and they gave a decision to be burned into fire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what did Allah say? First they asked, who did it? قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتَنْ يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُوا لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. When they brought him to the court and they decided to burn him into ash in the fire, رَبَّنَا قُلْنَا يَا نَارْ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Nothing happened to him. I said before, Musa alayhi salam was raised in the hands of Pharaoh. Yusuf alayhi salam, the same thing. Youth, you still remember the story of Musa alayhi salam when he helped the two girls to give water to their sheep. And they went to their father and told the story. And one of them, she said, قَالَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا يَا أَبَتِ اسْتَأْجِرْهُ إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنْ اسْتَأْجَرْتْ الْقَوِيِّ الْأَمِينَ. What we need from our youth and you all is al-quwwah wal-amana. Quwwah in your brain, in your body. Even if you reach 90 years, you are still active. Many times people tell me, you are still active, what? I said, you think I'm too old? Yes, I reach 65 now. And people tell me, you're still very active. What do you do? What do you eat? I said, it's not the food. The more you eat, the more you are tired, exhausted. The more you restrain yourself from food, the more you are spiritually elated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us and made us to fast Ramadan, to restrain from that type of food in order to be spiritually elated. Instead of saying what type of food you eat, you should ask what type of spirituality you have so as we can stay active, dynamic day and night, 24 hours. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, "Ash-shababu shu'ratum min nar." Youth are like flame of fire. إن لم يوجه نحو الخير وجه نحو الشر كالسيل العرم. It's like a flood. If you are not going to help your boys and girls to be directed in the right direction, they are going to destroy the society. Like a flood. Huh? You see flood in California. Huh? Mud, slud, and houses are being run. رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم told us, يا معشر الشباب من استطاع منكم الباء فليتزوج فإنه أغض للبصر وأحسن للفرج وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ وِجَاءٌ. Oh, you young boys, go and get married as soon as possible if you can assume responsibility because it helps you to cast down your eyes not to look at haram and whatnot. And it protects your sex organ. Otherwise, go and fast. Then it will restrain you and the urge will be less. If I make now a survey among your boys and girls without raising your hands, if I were to ask how many of the brothers are not married, how many of the girls are not married, and you find lots and lots. Every place I go like that, I say, why you are waiting? Oh, I'm waiting because nobody gives me. Why? They are waiting, like the Singapore Muslims. When I was in Singapore giving lectures every day, one of the lectures about the family problems, and we found out that the girls will not marry the boys unless the boys have 5 C's. The letter C, 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 C. I said, what are those 5 C's? The young man should have career. It starts with the letter C, career, profession. Number two, he has to have credit cards. Number three, he has to have cash in the bank. Number four, he has to have a car. Number five, he has to have a condominium. Condominium because they have no houses there, also only apartments. And the boys there, after high school, they have to go to the military for 2 years. The girls will go for university. The girls finish, the boys are not finished yet. The girls are highly educated, the boys are not up to the level. So they are awanis. They are unmarried. One young man pretended himself to be a religious person. He moved from Singapore to Malaysia. It's on the borderline. Kuwait and Iraq on the borderline. They took Singapore from Malaysia. And he moved to Malaysia borderline. And he inspired the girls to marry him. You know how many girls he married? He's Muslim. And they are Muslim with niqab. Not like hijab. You don't see except their eyes with black from top to bottom. They are graduate from universities, BA, MA. And he married 10. And the 10 girls are so happy with him when the Malaysian government told him, you cannot, the maximum Quran says is 4. And even one is better than anyone, Islam says. He said, you go to them. They asked the girl, they said, we're happy with him. We don't want. In the first 2 years, he had 17 babies. 17 babies. The second 2 years, he had 27 babies. And 6 of them are working outside, and 4 of them are taking care of the house and the babies. I have their pictures. I have everything like that. I said, that is when you deny your daughters from marrying any Muslim good man. No, I want not only 5 C's, I want 10 C's. How much even? Not only career. Very few people say, is he a religious person? No. We have also the problem, he's not from my country. I say, what is your country? Shall I mention names of countries or even districts? I hope you don't mind me because I'm living this problem. When we were in Chicago, we were running the Sunday school. We had a brother who's teaching in the Sunday school. He was from Jerusalem. And most of the boys and girls were from Palestine. And mashallah, there was one young girl was ready for marriage, and the brother wants to marry her. her family said, no, you are from Jerusalem, we are from Bethunia. Anybody from Jerusalem here or Palestine, they know where is Bethunia? Bethunia is a suburb, just a few miles. You are not from our city. We don't allow you. So he married a non-Muslima. Is this better? Now we have more than that. Haider Abadis, and I hope you don't mind. Haider Abadis will never allow but Haider Abadi to marry their daughters. I said, okay. And a large number of Haider Abadi girls are marrying now non-Muslims. Non-Muslim. Now, let me go a step further. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave advice to the youth. Now, you boys and girls, you have to be next to your mother every day asking her advice, much more than your father. Why? I don't know. I'm a father. I prefer my children. Allah blessed me with one daughter and three boys. And the girl got married, alhamdulillah. She had now three babies, one after the other, alhamdulillah. So I am a grandfather. So I'm saying, why you should? Because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when somebody, a young boy came to him, Ya Rasulullah, who is the best advisor for me? He said, your mother. Second day, he said, your mother. Third day, your mother. Fourth day, your father. Is this a discrimination? No. Because the mother who conceived you, who delivered you with blood and sweat, who took care of you as an infant, nursed you with her own blood and milk, and cleaned you and fed you every minute of your life, she knows how to handle you when you grow up. But the father need to be there also at the same time. Now, for that reason, أُمَّكَ 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 ثُمَّ أَبَاكَ الْجَنَّةَ تَحْتَ أَقْدَامِ الْأُمَّهَاتِ. Even paradise at the feet of the mother. Once I was coming to Orlando from Chicago to participate with a Christian Baptist about women in the Quran, women in the Bible. And in the plane, one old lady was sitting next to me. She saw I'm opening something strange. What is this? I said, Quran. In what? Arabic. From where to where going? I said, I'm coming to Orlando to give a talk about women in the Bible, women in the Quran. Me about Quran, the other one will talk about women in the Bible. So what the Islam, your Islam, what Quran says about women? I said, Allah says, Hadith says, paradise at the feet of the mothers. She said, how about me, single woman? I did not marry. I said, you should go and marry. If you don't marry, if you don't have children, you don't know what does it mean to be a mother. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala denied your wife not to conceive any child, like Sarah, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, like Zachariah and his wife. There is a time when your wife is going to conceive. But if you are not a mother, you don't know what does it mean. And if you want to live a single woman, go ahead, but your reward will not be as much as possible. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a young man making tawaf around Kaaba. Listen to me properly, because this is very important. And he saw an old lady on his back making tawaf. After finish, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the young boy, who is this old lady? He said, Ya Rasulullah, she is my mother. She cannot make tawaf. I am carrying her on my back. Did I repay her? Did I repay her the favor of what she has done for me? He said, look here, young man. And listen to this advice of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have come from your country barefooted, and your mom is behind on your back, and you came and made the rituals of tawaf and sa'i, and go to Arafah and stay in Mina, and finish the rituals of Hajj, and go back to your home country barefooted, and still your mother is on your back, you will never ever repay the favors of your mother. What I say to the boys and girls in California, I say, listen here, boys, and I'll tell you what some of the boys have added to the story. I said, if you go from California, you want to go to Hajj, and your mother is on your back, you have to go from the Pacific to the Atlantic walking between California to New York. How many months it takes you and your mother still on your back? Then you have to swim through the Atlantic like a dolphin while your mother is on your back. And you have to cross the Gibraltar, Jabal Tariq Strait. And you have to swim through the Mediterranean Sea. And you have to go through Suez Canal. And you have to go through Red Sea. And you land then in Jeddah. And then you have to walk to Mecca while mom is still on your back, and then make all the tawaf, all the sa'i, all the rituals of Hajj, and come back, do the same route. You will never ever repay the favors of your mother. One boy went to his mother and father and added something. You know what he said to his mom and dad? Uncle Ahmed Sakhar told us this story. Shall I tell you, mom, what I also? He said, even while I'm going, a seal, a shark, you call him shark? Dolphin or whatever, seal. He said, even if a shark ate my right foot while I'm going, coming, I came with the second foot being lost, and I came without two legs. Still, mom, I will not repay you for all the favor you have done for him. If we are going to raise our boys and girls with this type of teaching, story after story, then our boys and girls are going to be the role model for every humanity in the whole world. And our moms and dads are going to be so happy with their boys and girls. Surah Al-Baqarah. We read Surah Al-Baqarah, we don't know why it is called Surah Al-Baqarah. But when we teach the story of Surah Al-Baqarah, three stories in one story, then we know what does it mean, how to respect mom. One person killed another person. They don't know who is the killer. Multi-billionaire. They said, Musa, Ya Musa, you claim yourself you are messenger of Allah. Tell Allah how. He went to Jabal al-Tur and he came back. He told them, slaughter a cow. Crazy, slaughter a cow. We are telling you who killed this man. I don't know. Kill. Go and kill a cow. Back and forth. You know the story. Back and forth, back and forth. Another story. So one story is killing. One story, Musa alayhi salam, back and forth asking Allah about the cow. A third story, listen to that story, which is the key story. One old man felt that he's going to die, he's poor. He has nothing except a cow. He said to his wife, I'm putting this baby cow in the wild mountain. When our son grow up, let him go up and bring it. She smelled like a dog's, sniffing. And he died. And mom told the boy, when he grew up, Allah, your father left you a treasure in the mountain. Go and bring the cow. So he went, and the cow smelled him. She came with him. So she told him, why don't you go to the market and sell it? How much? Suppose 1,000 dinar. He saw somebody at the street at the corner. Uncle, Chacha, how much this car? He said, a cow. He said, my mother told me 1,000. Can I give you 1,500? He said, no. Why? Mom told me 1,000. I will not sell it more than what my mom told me. He said, go back to your mom and tell him an uncle is ready to pay more. He won. She said, yes. Second time he said, no, because you want back and forth, I'll give you 2,000. He said, no. Back and forth, back out, 10,000, 100,000. It became the weight of the cow with gold. And finally, he did not see that man. He was an angel. And then he went to the market. He saw Musa alayhi salam with all the people are looking for that cow. It happened to be that cow. And you know the whole story. But I'm telling you, the idea of raising your boys and girls with love and affection, keep them with you. But you fathers, you have to be a role model to your family. You fathers, you have to pray with your family at least once a day. Jama'ah. When you say Allahu Akbar, your wife and your children will say Allahu Akbar, they follow you, you are the leader for them. If not, and I hope you don't mind me, I'm not here to make fitna. I usually say to the ladies, to the sisters, if your husband is not going to be imam for you in your house, he means he's not ready to obey Allah, please don't obey your husband. You are telling me not to obey? I said, yes, because he's not obeying Allah, why should you obey your husband? وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِهِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِمْ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُفَ. Be nice to them. Now, there are so many things that we have to share with you tonight about your children and whatnot, what we should do. Unfortunately, your children, their teachers are not moms and dads. It's the public school system, it's the TV, with all the regular program, PG, RX, XXX, whatnot, remote control, cable TV, and control, satellite, and even now internet, world web, whatnot. and remote control. How many times you have seen your child sitting at the TV and then when you pass by, tick, tick, tick with the remote control because he doesn't want you to know what he is looking at or she. And if you ask your youth, take this question, very important to all of you and to your youth. If you ask your youth, who is the best actor in America? They'll tell you. The movie star, they tell you. The singer, they tell you. The dancer, they tell you. The sports, they tell you. They tell you all their names. And you tell them about Michael Jordan? Of course we know Michael Jordan. Do you know what food he eats? Of course, they tell you what food. What shoes? Yes. What stocks? Yeah. Chalk? What shirts? Yeah. What liquid they drink? Everything they know. What bed they even sleep? You know. Ask them a question about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, they know, but what they know about him? Very little. Do you know something about the seerah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Seerah? What is seerah? I don't know. Do you know anything about the sahaba? The word sahaba, they don't know what is sahaba. Tell them about the youth who were around Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Umar al-Khattab, who is that Abdullah? Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, who is he? Abdullah ibn Abbas, we don't know. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, we don't know. Yes, we have heard somebody about Bilal. That's all what we have heard. But what? We don't know. Have you heard about Mu'az ibn Jabal? No. Mus'ab ibn Umair? Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr? No. Asma ibn Abi Bakr? Aisha ibn Abi Bakr? Zawjat al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hafsa ibn Umar al-Khattab? Fatima al-Zahra? Maybe, but how much? How about later? These are Sahaba even, huh? Youth, all of them were youth. Even Umar al-Khattab, when he accepted Islam, he was a young boy. Now, have you heard of Imam Bukhari? Yes. What do you know about him? We don't. What's his name? Abu Huraira. If I ask you, what is the name of Abu Huraira? I don't know. Even you, brothers, sisters. What's the name of even, not Abu Huraira, Imam Bukhari? We don't know. Imam Muslim, what's his full name? We don't. Imam Shafi'i, what's his full name? Wallah, we don't know. Because we did not study Islam, we. We studied secularism. We went to Lycée Français, to American University of Beirut, the French, every university, Christian missionaries of the world in our land, in our Muslim land, and we did not study Islam at all. And here in America, who's going to teach us Islam? Nobody. We are highly educated in secularism, but we are emotionally attached to Islam. Yes, we love Allah, yes. We may pray 5 times a day, yes, but emotionally, how much we know what we are reading? No. Every surah in Quran, we don't know what is it about. Do we have Islamic classes, Sharia, that we are studying, course after course after course after course? No. Do we respect our imam? No. Our imams are the least respected in every Islamic society. We employ them with $1,000 today, tomorrow we fire them because we gave them $1,000 per month. Big deal. I said, do you know Ibn Battuta? What? Ibn Battuta? Do you know Ibn Khaldun? No. Ibn Battuta, the one who went from Fez. What is Fez? We don't know, huh? Morocco. Fez, he traveled the whole world and he made the map of the whole world, the first one. Do you know Abbas ibn Firnas? What? Abbas ibn Firnas? He was the first human being who made wings for himself and he flew by himself like a bird in Spain. But he forgot to make a tail for him to land, so he landed and crushed his legs. Do you know Zubaydah? Zubaydah? Who's Zubaydah? Wife of Harun Rashid? So what? Anybody came from Lebanon will tell you about Qanatir Zubaydah. Anybody went for Hajj? You ask the Muslims in Mecca, they'll show you about Zubaydah. Zubaydah was the wife of Harun Rashid. She went for Hajj and she cried for the welfare of the Hajji. They have no water in Arafah. And she said, MashaAllah, Turkey, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, plenty of water. She brought all the water from there, all the way to Mecca, and from Mecca to Arafah. Go to Lebanon, you see arches and tunnels from mountain to mountain. All of them are called the tunnels and the arches of Zubaydah, Zubaydah, Zubaydah. The early Muslim sisters did something, but we, you know, they tell you, your husband, no, as long as you have hijab, khalas, you sit at home, you have no right to do anything. Is this Islam? No way. How about Muhammad Abdurrahman al-Dakhil? Well, I never heard his name. He's the one who opened it. How about Tariq ibn Ziyad? I wish every one of them will try to teach our boys and girls, and we have to learn something about those personalities. I wish we have the time to talk about him. Now, what we need, Our youth today, yes, they said it is the future leaders of tomorrow. The old generations have to take care of their young generation to train them properly, to receive, to give with wisdom, and give them the wisdom, the technical know-how, safeguard them from mistakes, and listen how you should talk to them. Not where you tell your boys and girls, I'm your father, when the father speaks, you have no right. No. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the Surah in the Quran about Luqman al-Hakim, the wise Luqman, how he talks to his children with his son. Ya Abba, ya Bunayya, please. Huh? Islam taught us to teach our children between the age of 1 day to 7 years, you have to play with them. How many of you play with your children horsey on your back? Huh? I'm too old to play. Oh. Who told you to wait till 30, 35, 40 to get married, and then you are too old to play with your babies? Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that you have to play with your children till the age of 7. Between 7 to 14, you have to teach them the manners, behavior, practice of Islam. Between 14 and 21, listen, moms and dads, don't boss them. Between 14 to 21, you have to talk to them as brothers and sisters, and not to dictate upon them. But 21 and above, they should be independent. But still, they are part of your family. Now, who should teach all these things to your children? The family, number one, not the school. The school, number two, the teacher. But unfortunately, the teacher in public school are the worst advisor for your boys and girls. I have enough experience in this country, what they teach to your boys and girls. Number three, the street. Unfortunately, in America, the street is not the best. Media is not the best. Society is not the best. The government is not the best. There are rules and regulations. I tell mom and dad, boys and girls, please, whenever there is any problem in America, in your house, listen once for all, never ever call 911. 911 is the worst line for the Muslims in America. There are other numbers, 411, but it's not also for, it has not gone to solve. There is the 800 number, it's not easy. 900 is the worst number. The best number that you should call is, listen once for all, is called 111. What is 111? There is no one. I said, yes. Allah wahid, Allah wahid, Allah ahad, kul huwa Allahu ahad. Means you go and cry to Allah with Salat al-Hajah. Salat al-Hajah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to go and cry to Allah and tell you, Allah, solve my problem. But you have to wake up 1 hour before Fajr and make 12 rak'ah and cry like a baby who's crying, lost his mother, and say, Allah, please solve my problem. He will solve your problem. I can talk more about it. Now, the leadership is not to be given to any one of us. No one is going to give you leadership. No one is going to give you any title, any position. It has to be earned with blood and sweat and money and hard work. Now the problem that most of us, the youth, want the teacher to come to their houses to teach them Quran. Spoiled. Most of your boys and girls who are being taught even Quran in your own houses, you are telling the imam, come to my house to teach my children. I said, you are spoiling your boys and girls. You have to tell your boys and girls, you have to go to the teacher. The teacher has no right to come to you. You want to learn? You go. When you are sick, you go to the doctor. When you are in trouble, you go to the lawyer. When your car is not good, you go to the mechanics. You don't allow people to come to your house. You are then spoiling them. Now, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us even, عَلِّمُوا أَوْلَادَكُمُ الرِّمَايَةَ وَالسِّبَاحَةَ وَرُكُوبَ الْخَيْلِ. Teach your boys and girls archery, swimming, and horseback horse riding. What? Swimming? No. Shame. Type, huh? You drown in the water, you don't know how to. And you are in the sea. But how can a sister swim in front of other? I say, come on. We know how to. The girls can swim by themselves in an indoor with a morality of dress also. The boys have to do similar thing independently also with morality of dress with supervision. Otherwise, we are not practicing what Islam taught us. Yes, we have to have relaxation and entertainment. Unfortunately, we don't know either. Our entertainment is either, unfortunately, the Arab dancing, belly dancing, or the Hindu is in the Indo-Pakistani. What is the true Islamic entertainment? We don't know. But I was told with Sheikh that at least last week, You heard that list, Abu Ratib? That is a good entertainment. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, رَوِّحُ عَنُ الْقُلُوبِ سَاعَةً بَعْدَ سَاعَةً لِأَنَّ الْقُلُوبَ إِذَا كَلَّتْ عَمِيَةً. Relax! Smile! No frowning. Never smile. If you smile, people suspect you. Why to suspect? No one is supposed. If I look at the sister and sister look at me, they have to run away to scare me. And the same thing, brothers. In the Salatul Jum'ah, I'm giving Friday a khutbah. I look at the faces of the Muslim. Everybody is looking like this as if I'm a criminal. Akhi, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, وَابْتِسَامُكَ فِي وَجِي أَخِيكَ صَدَقَةً. You smile, you make sadaqah. Nobody cares for your money. We care for you. It takes one muscle to smile, and it takes 26 muscles to frown. When you frown, عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرَ, you have headache, neck ache, shoulder ache, back ache. You have to have Valium, you have to be this, you have to go to psychiatrist, you have to go to mental hospital, you have to pay for it. I said, smile and get credit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to the wasiyya of Umar al-Khattab to the governors. I wish every one of you will take it seriously today. Umar al-Khattab, when he was Khalifa, radiallahu anhu, there were six governors at that time, and he gave them a wasiyya. What the governors should do, and should encourage every Muslim to do the same. Listen to the wasiyya. He said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَزِيَّ الْعَجَمْ وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالشَّمْسِ فَإِنَّا حَمَّامُ الْعَرَبِ وتمعددوا وتمعدنوا وخشوشنوا وخشوشبوا وخلولقوا وانزوا نزوة وارموا الأغراض. Sheikh Raed is going to translate it. He said, don't imitate non-Muslims in your dress for the sake to say, well, I look like them. I want to be look like them. No, you can dress whatever you want to dress, but not to say I'm dressing like this in order to look like American. No, then I lost my credibility. عليكم بالشمس فإن حمام العرب. If you stay under the sun, don't say, well, I have sunstroke. Why? In the day of judgment, you are going to sit under the sun. Now the sun is 92,870,000 miles. In the day of judgment, it's going to be 1 mile above your head. وتمعددوا وتمعدنوا. You're eating. Don't overeat too much. Let your stomach have hungry sometimes to feel with other, like Siyam, Monday and Thursday. وَتَمَعْدَدُوا وَتَمَعْدَنُوا مَعْدًا. Be like a metal. When you hit it, it is much better. When it is rusted, hit it, then it will be good. And when you are being hit with any calamity, you are still much better than before. وَخْشَوْشِنُوا وَخْشَوْشِبُوا. خْشَوْشِنُوا, you sleep now on the bed, tomorrow on the floor. So what? You should be lucky even you live on the floor. You know, living on the floor even, it's the best massager for your back. You, the least back pain and the least. وَخْشَوْشِنُوا وَخْشَوْشِبُوا. Be like a wood. When rain come on it, nothing happened. When sun come on it, nothing happened. Still it is wood. وَخْلَوْلِقُوا. Dress بَذَاذَة. And be akhlaq at the same time. Don't say, I want to dress. In California, they go to Rodeo Drive. A jacket, a suit like this, which is $100 there, it is $5,000. Why? Because it's for the actors. Then, wanzu nuzuwa. Not only jogging, but also you have to run. How many of you can go and do jogging every day? And jumping. Warmul aghrad. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I challenge all of you brothers and sisters, if you follow what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Twice in his life, he brought his wife Aisha. After he married her, in public, he said, let's run and see who is the winner. Who is the father, husband, will say to his wife, let's now go and run in front of everybody and see who is the winner. Whether you, Sheikh, or anyone else. She ran and she won because she was still young, thin. Later in life, she became mashallah, and then he won over it. And it's written that twice they made the run. Now here, people don't want his wife even to walk with him because, no, you walk behind me. There is a joke in America that the Muslims in the Muslim world, and even the Chinese and even the Oriental there, out of respect, the husband walked 20 feet in the front and the wife back as a matter of respect. In Europe, people walk side by side, man and woman. In America, the woman walk in the front and the man in the back, because women in America, they consider them to be the ruling power. Now, if you want to do any of these activities, that we just mentioned, a few of them, you need the youth, you need the manpower, you need the facility, and you need the dollar. There is nothing free. Unfortunately, Muslims want everything free. They want Jannah even free. I said, no way, you will never ever enter Jannah free. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, huffatul Jannah bil makarih wa huffatul nar bil shahawat. Jannah with blood and sweat. You will never enter Jannah peacefully unless you work day and night. Everything that is against the lusts, you have to control it. Don't look at haram. Don't listen to haram. Don't think haram. Don't smell haram. Don't touch haram. Don't taste haram. Don't go to places of haram. Plus, you have to make salat 5 times a day. You have to make the roza or siyam, Ramadan, and much more. You have to read Quran daily. Everything you have to do, sadaqat you have to do. You have to go for hajj. All of these. Otherwise, Jannah is not for you, for somebody else. All of you are highly educated. You did not get your degree free of charge. You paid money and blood and sweat to get your degree. You, whether you are medical doctor or PhD or you are engineer or lawyer or you know what does it mean, how many years it took you to get your education. I still remember even at the American University of Beirut, for my master's degree I used to live on the floor to finish my experiment. Here at the University of Illinois, for 4 years I used to live on the couch inside my laboratory and stay 24 hours behind my experiment. And you know what does it mean? Blood and sweat. You think you want to go to Jannah free? No. And therefore, as much as you have paid money, time, effort, energy for your academic education, you have to do much more for Jannah. Otherwise, Jannah is not for us. Now, to produce a leader in America, of course, costs money. But to produce a criminal in America, the whole world and the whole society is to suffer. And here they want you to dismantle your family. One book is about family values. Here they don't want families. Now, time is a factor. Well, this is the climax, huh? Time is a factor. Most of us, yes, you are right. Inshallah, bukra. You come tomorrow, you say, Yahi bukra, maltullak bukra. Why you are coming again? Bukra, bukra. We Muslims in the Middle East are known with the following. Inshallah, bukra. When you get tired, ma'alish, yaakhi, so you are in a hurry. So I for inshallah, B for bukra, M for ma'alish. So we became the community of IBM. IBM. You know the IBM. So don't blame anybody if anything not happened. You may lose dollars, but you make it again. So what? Even if you have bankruptcy, but if you lose one of your biological children, you cannot bring another child after menopause. And if you become 60, 70, even you cannot, maybe even if you marry 20 years old, you may not get children. So please, whatever Allah has blessed you with, don't lose them and keep them. And remember the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمٌ قَطَعَ مَالُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. When the child of Adam is going to die, everything is going to be off for you. Nothing will go with you to your grave. Except one of the three life insurances. Any one of you who is now involved in life insurances, I'm ready to challenge you. You are not ready to give me life insurance for me to take me with me to the grave. Any life insurance that you give me is not for me, for my inheritors. I want a life insurance that will go with me to the grave. Till the day of judgment is being invested. No one was ready to do it except Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, when you are going to die, before you die, plan it and make life insurances for you. What are they? Sadaqa jariya. Sadaqa jariya. What is a sadaqa jariya? It's not to give money for a needy person. That's a regular charity. Sadaqa jariya, when you build a masjid, is sadaqa jariya. A university, a hospital, a clinic. Anything and everything that stays in this part of the world after you die is sadaqa jariya. Now, we don't have a hospital in America run by Muslims. We have every hospital run by every denomination of all the churches of America and the Jews of America. From the Seventh-day Adventist to the Jehovah's Witness to Baptist to Lutheran, all of them have universities, colleges, hospitals. But we have nothing. We have more than 150,000 Muslim physicians practicing, but we don't have a single Muslim hospital in America. We have so many highly educated PhD in education and science technology, we don't have a single Islamic university accredited in America. When we made the Islamic College in Chicago, accredited, approved, scholarship and everything, Muslims made it haphazard. We bought it from the nuns, it's still the buildings are there, but they don't know how to run it, unfortunately. So sadaqa jariya, and think tonight, who wants to get a life insurance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sadaqa jariya and initiate to do something before you die? Otherwise, don't cry in the day of judgment. Ya Allah, how come? I said, I brought you a crazy person whose name is Ahmad Zakar all the way for 15 hours flying and coming here to remind you, and still you are sleepy, worried about this world. This is not the world that you are going to stay in it. Very soon all of us are going to die. Our bedroom is in the soil, under the ground for thousands of years, and then eternity is in Jannah, hopefully. Number two. Number one is sadaqa jariya. Number two, ilm yuntafa'u bih. Ilm, huh? Knowledge, which is useful for every human being. Knowledge, all of you are highly educated. I'm not in the business of computer, but if whenever I want to work in computer, they say, please save it and put it in floppy disk. I say, why? They say, maybe virus might attack the program, you lose everything. How about if Parkinson's disease attack your brain, Alzheimer's disease attack you, and you die, who's going to benefit from you and make dua maghfirah? Nobody. Nobody is going to remember you unless you put your ilm in books, or audio, or video, or internet, or before you die. 1,000 years from today, people may say, MashaAllah, radiyallahu an, rahmatullah. Imam Bukhari, what do you say? You brothers and sisters, what do you say, Imam Bukhari? Let me hear you. Radiallahu anh. Sayyida Aisha, Sayyida Fatima, Sayyida Khadija, Imam Bukhari, Abu Huraira, all these nice people, you are making dua, rahma and maghfirah for them. Who's going to make dua and maghfirah? Who cares? Unless you hide something. Our Imam Sheikh Ra'id told you about the books. The books are here, ma'alish. Yani be kind. Out of 46 books have been published in my life history in America, here are Islamic Awareness, Life, Death, and Life After, Family Values, ma'alish, Jinn, the police department, since we work with the police department, each one told me, give me five. I said, why? He said, too many people around us, non-Muslims, American, are being possessed. We want to know how to handle these crazy people. Which is true. A Muslim guide to food ingredient. Is it halal or haram? Understanding halal food, fallacies and facts. About fasting. About death and dying. About pork, why it is haram. In Bible, in Torah, in science, technology. Most of these have science, technology along with Islam. Introducing Islam to non-Muslims. And then the seven books of Khutab Jum'ah. Khutab al-Jum'ah, Dalil Khutab al-Jum'ah, Khutab Minbariya, Khutab Islamiyya, Diwan al-Khutab, Book of Khutab, and Khutab al-Masjid. The last book that came last.
This is the last book.
Yeah. And this is the Golden Book of Islamic List, and this is came last 2 days, the Book of Inquiries. What we need to do is not only listen to talks and say bye-bye. He wants me to finish in order to give you a chance to ask questions. You are most welcome to ask any question. But the hadith that I read it for you, this book, I had to publish it at that time. All the material inside is the same, but the title was strange at that time. Muslims said no. The title was Sex Education Islam. What? Sex education? No way. Shame. So I said, okay, I changed the title, called Matrimonial Education. Now mom and dad read it. Oh, beautiful. Now they are giving it to their boys and girls to know what is halal and haram. And even moms and dads were committing haram in their relationship. We did not know this is haram. Now we understand it. Yes, at any rate. Now, last but not least, the hadith, we did not finish it, if you don't mind. We said three things, life insurance. Sadaqa jariya, ilm, and the last one is walad salih yad'ula, a loving child. When you die, he or she is going to pray 5 times a day, and they will raise their hand and make the dua, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh Allah, forgive me, forgive for mom and dad, and for every believer from now till the day of judgment. How nice that you and me now should raise our hand. Can you raise your hand, all of you? Your fathers and mothers alive or dead, they need this dua from you. Yes or no? Raise your hand. Say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I didn't hear you. رب اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. Repeat. رب اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. رب اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. Now I have a few things to request your boys and girls. Encourage them to write articles as of today. They know how to speak, they know how to write. You immigrant Muslim, you know how to talk like me and better than me, but most of us don't know how to write. Your boys and girls who were raised here, plus those who were raised at American institutions in the Middle East or Far East, and Lycée Français and all these French and American universities, they know how to read and write. So what I need from your boys and girls is to read and write and speak and write. If they are ready now to write articles, I'm telling all the youth in America, as long as I'm alive, inshallah, and since I'm publishing books, I have still 20 books to finish. I said, why don't you ask your boys and girls, each one of you write 1 article, 5 pages, and give them to me. I will collect them, all these 100 articles together, and put them in 1 book. And your boy and girl will be the author of that subject in that book, the rest of the history of mankind in America. Why not? Your boys and girls, they need to publish at least a good article or a poem, something out of their heart and mind for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll put it in a book and publish it. They are the authors. I'm not the author. I will be only an editor to edit it and put it in a book form for them. So as at least it will be one of the contribution of your boys and girls on your behalf for the rest of your life in America. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while we came tonight here, not for the sake of eating, we eat any time. We did not come here to listen to talk. You are listening to talk every time. We came here to take action. If we are not going to make action today, please, Sheikh Ra'id, don't invite me next time. Why should I come for the sake of talking? Oh, inspiring, motivating, yes, alhamdulillah. But we need to do some action. You, brother, from the internet, you have to say today, you are responsible to organize all of us in the da'wah committee for the sake of internet, for anyone who wants to make da'wah through the internet all over the world, and bring the true message of Islam for the whole world. And every young boy and girl who knows how to use the internet should come and say, let's work together for the love of Allah and deliver the message of Islam everywhere in the world. People are crying. People yearning for Islam. They want Islam. And it does not cost you money. Even if it costs money, you should be number one to help everybody who wants to make da'wah for the love of Allah. Life is short. When you go to Allah, you should be happy that you have left something behind you. It's not the house that you leave for it. It's not the car that you leave. It's not the money that you leave in the bank. It's the Islam that Allah bestowed it upon you and you brought it here to America. It's to leave it in America for the 1,000 years to come. The Vatican has planned for 100 years to come how to Christianize the Muslim. How to approach the Muslim. Muslims have no plan how to keep themselves Muslims up till now. When I was in the Vatican, I cried day and night. They have 3 Islamic institutions, 3 universities to teach Islam, so as to teach the wrong Islam in order to penetrate into the hearts of Muslims in the Muslim land. They bring Muslim and Christian from the Muslim land to give them BA, MA, and Quran, Sharia, to teach them and then go back to the Muslim world and Christianize the Muslim from within. We have nothing here in America, so we did not come tonight here for the sake of talk, or for the sake of eating, or for the sake of socialization. These are accessories. We came here to see who wants to work for the love of Allah. It was reported in the early history of poetry in Arabic, إِذَا الْقَوْمُ نَادُوا مَنْ فَتَنْ خِلْتُ أَنَّنِي عُنِيتُ فَلَمْ أَكْسَلْ وَلَمْ أَتَبَلَّدِي. When people ask, who is that person who wants to take the initiative to do something? Everyone thought, it is me. Every one of you tonight should say, me. No one should go home tonight and sleep and say, mashallah, mashallah, mashallah. No. What is your role as a mother, as grandmother? What's your role as a father and grandfather? What's your role as a physician, as an engineer, as anything? What's your role as a young boy and girl? Nothing. You think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us on this planet Earth accidentally? No. He chose you to come to be His ambassador on this planet Earth in order to deliver the message of Allah on this planet Earth, to be the representative and the ambassador of Allah. You have no right tonight to go and sleep and happily, mashallah, we came, mashallah. No, it is good to say mashallah, but you have to say to yourself, what is my role in the whole asset, in the whole environment, in the whole community? Where do I stand? None of you should say, I should be the president, I should be the leader, in order. No, who cares? Who cares for your titles of PhDs, MDs? What? I put all my credits in the garbage. I don't care for them. I care to go wherever it is needed to go, everywhere. In 40 different countries I had to travel in different parts of the world. Whoever wants, I go to, even for one or for 1,000. If you don't want, it's your job. Because I love you, I came. I know Miami years and years ago, when we were only a few people praying outside that old, the oldest house as a masjid, there was no place to pray inside, we pray outside. Like Orlando too, we did the same thing, pray outside. But mashallah, you are too many. And I hope that number of tonight here, tonight, should be like a miracle in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As much as you love Allah, as much as you are committed, as much as Allah inspired you to come here to be inspired, to be motivated, let me see if I'm going to live for a year that, or even a day or two, that something noble came from Miami. Miami is no more the city of drugs and gangs and what shooting and killing. It should be the most peaceful city in America because of the Muslims who are peaceful. And you are to take the initiative to do it tonight, not tomorrow. I hope and I pray. The message, I'm not talking to you, brothers and sisters. I'm talking through you. Let me make it clear again once for all. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking through you because I love you. And I want to share it with you. Before I die, I want to see something concrete has been done. When somebody is boiling, he has to cry. He cannot cry to anybody in the world except to those whom he loves and respect. If my voice is loud, because I love you, I respect you. I'm talking through you so as you can take the message and convey it and do something. May Allah bless you and reward you. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
We do have some questions, inshallah, and I would like to just go to a few major questions here. And I do want to apologize in advance for those whose questions will not be read or answered because we are already running out of time. Brother Ahmad, could you, inshallah, come here and join me?
You could read that question. And
read it.
It's okay.
The question is, as a youth, I enjoy listening to music in my free time. However, recently I have been told that music is haram. Could you please expand on this statement? You may have to read a whole book about it rather than one sentence. You cannot answer it in one sentence. There is something called halal and haram in music. There is nothing called 100% halal, 100% haram. There is something, depends what type of a music, when you are playing it, to whom you are playing it, on what time you are playing it, and then all these are questions to be answered. Then we tell you, this is halal, this is haram. The drum is halal, the others is haram. When? During the salat? Huh? Is it at the time when reading the Quran and you close the Quran and you want to listen to rap music? Many of our boys and girls, they enjoy the rap music. They said, Ya akhi, read Quran, listen to Abdul Basit, Abdul Samad. No, it doesn't have melodic voice, rap, rap, rap. We want rap, 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 rap. No. They want ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Take it easy. So there are things which is halal, which is haram. And there is no time not to tell you which is in detail unless we stay here for more than this few minutes. Here is a question in Arabic. I'll read it in English, possibly. Many Muslims who ya'ishu birizq al-haram, they are living with haram. They look at you and to the Islamic centers to take them libina marakis عمل إسلامية تعمل بالحلال وتدار من قبل المراكز الإسلامية, بهذا لا يكون للفرد المسلم عبء على المراكز الإسلامية ولا المراكز الإسلامية عبء على المسلمين من حلال وحرام, خاصة وأن مراكزنا دائما بحاجة ماسة. طيب, what do you want me to say? حلال, رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم سأل حلال بين والحرام بين وما بينهما كثير مشتبهات. حلال is حلال, حرام حرام, الله طيب لا يقبل إلا طيبة. Anyone who works in liquor stores is حرام. Don't tell me I have no other choice. No, you have hundreds of choice. رزقكم في السماء وما توعدون. There are two highways. One highway lead to Jannah, one highway lead to hell. Your rizq is being destined for you. You select the halal, it comes to you. You select the haram, it comes to you. Sometimes shaitan entices you to do more toward liquor store because it gives more money at one time. The other one is be delayed one day. But many of those who dealt in haram and product is either shooting or any catastrophe or robbing or sickness, whatnot. Choose the halal, even if it is minimum. Now, our existence in America may be haram. Because why we are in America? Who told you to live in a kufr country? Your renting a house could be haram because you are paying the interest to the landlord who has to pay it to the bank. Put your money in the checking account without interest is haram because the bank is haram and using your halal money in haram. And your purchasing power of the dollar of today, next year it will be 90 cents. Even if you make 5 cents with CDs, also you are losing 10%, you are making 5%. Even if you put your money in your house and hiding it, you are losing the purchasing power from $1 into 90 cents. Plus, you are making much more than that. You are increasing the unemployment and depression and many other things like this. So, everything is haram here. So where is the halal? I don't know. Show me the halal. So so there are limits, no doubt, unless you are obliged. You want to do it, do it. But grocery, liquor, no, you are not obliged to do it. To sell even smoking cigarette, I don't allow it. I will never tolerate to see a single Muslim selling even cigarette, let alone liquor, because smoking is bringing cancer. I have so many relatives of mine died at the age of 30 and 40 because of smoking. And we know that here in America, smoking brings cancer. Why in the world? I was in business. I left most of my business. I didn't want to do any business anymore. One time they asked me in the Middle East, why don't you send us a cigarette? I said, no way. Once I was out of a job even, I was looking for any type of teaching job or academic job or research. The only one out of 300 applications, only one application came. Milwaukee beer. As a biochemist, research biochemist in the laboratory. I said, no way. I'm not going to even sit in the laboratory where I'm testing even the alcohol. I said, Ya Allah, I know you are testing me. I cried. I make Salat al-Hajjah. I got a job as a teaching job in one of the universities. You cry to Allah with Salat al-Hajjah, Allah will give you. You don't cry? Okay, Allah is testing you. What else? The other ones... How about a sister who cannot conceive due to some medical reasons? Is her reward reduced because she cannot be mother? I was expecting somebody will ask this question when I said, no, it is beyond your control. If you can conceive and you refuse, then your reward is down. But if you are not conceiving biologically, not because of you, your reward is there. Sarah, the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, she had the reward. Allah delayed it, and finally he gave her. Zachariah delayed it, and he gave it. But some people go for fertility test tube babies in California, mainly Irvine Campus Medical School. And you know what happened finally? They discovered that they were doing it illegally, immorally. Instead of taking the sperm and the ova from the same couple, they had them in freezer test tube, and they did it for them, and they got them 20,000, 40,000, 70,000, and it is legal, technological, medical prostitution. I have other people who came to me, Muslims. They say, we tried it with test tube baby. They paid $20,000. It did not work. And now they ended up, they have still 6 test tubes with fertilized. The wife, she said, I don't want it. The way she went through it, she said the worst thing. You think it's test tube baby is the easiest? No. They give her so many drugs, so many medicines. She went out, so many things, medication, whatnot. She said the worst of all is to go through it. And it did not work. So leave it up to Allah. Allah knows when, where, how. Because if he gives you now a baby, it might be defective. Or he might be tyrant dictator, like most of those who are in the Middle East. What is our response? I didn't say one particular. I did not point out my finger to any one of them. What is our response for the situation in Iraq? As Muslims and Arabs. We are not Arabs, we are Muslims. Arabs could be Muslim, could be Christian, could be Jew, could be communist, could be atheist, could be agnostic. So as Muslims, it's our concern for any Muslim country anywhere in the world. Have we done anything? No. The lobbyists, Jewish lobbies in Washington, D.C., they are doing everything to scare the whole world. They already killed 1.5 million recently, from 90 up till now. Plus, during the war between Iraq and Iran, they killed also between those Muslims who were killed. And still, Israeli is afraid of Iraki people. Iraqi poor people have nothing except death after death after death. Same thing applies to the people in Palestine, in Kashmir, in India, in Burma, same in Chechnya and in Somalia, every place in the world. What's our role? Is to have a lobbyist group in Washington, D.C., like CARE and AMC recently. We should pour every penny for them so as they go and convince the White House. I did not have the chance to tell you what your boys and girls should aspire to be in America. I challenged the White House to do what early Khulafa did and what the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. They used to appoint non-Muslims as advisor to them how to deal with Christians and Jews. The White House up till now does not have a single Muslim advisor to tell them how to take care of the Muslim world or how to take care of Muslims of America, 8 million. Up till now, the White House and the State Department is too naive and too scary to appoint a Muslim ambassador to a Muslim country. Every ambassador in the whole Muslim world are Christians or Jews. Not a single American citizen, Muslim, is being employed neither as an ambassador to a Muslim country or a consul general or in any capacity. Therefore, your boys and girls should be aspired to go and convince the White House with the lobbyists in Washington, D.C. How come 8 million Muslims in America, you don't know how to deal with us? Come and ask us. The mass media is saying that we are a terrorist. We are. Come on, give me a break. We are the most peaceful people in America. Compare any ethnic group, any religious group in America, the most peaceful people in America are the Muslims. And I challenge all the Christians, all the Jews, all the seculars in America, and I say, how many Muslims, Muhammad, Mahmoud, Ali, Mustafa, Fatima, Zainab, Khadija, with hijab or with beard, whatnot, are being chained every day and being taken to the court? Next to zero. But every day, Tom, Dick, and Harry, Elizabeth and Margaret and whatnot, and the rest, without mentioning their name up till So we should do something. Please state about a complete hijab. Are you worried about complete hijab tonight? Or you are worried about being, you love Allah? Hijab is a byproduct of your iman in your heart. I teach ladies, Muslim sisters in California. I don't talk about hijab. I talk about our love to Allah and our obedience to Allah, our understanding of Sharia of Islam. The byproduct of your knowledge of practicing Islam, one of them is hijab. Whether complete or non-complete. I teach also Islamic Sharia classes. What we need, which I didn't have time to express it now, it might be. What you should do here, as long as you have different imams and alim and hafiz and qari, if you don't have it, you have to start having it. I said you have to have three things. By the way, mashallah, you showed me some of masajid and you bought and you told me you bought and somebody showed me. I'm not interested in building hijara, stones and houses and whatnot called masajid, whatnot. What I'm interested in America is to build our hearts with iman, faith, how much we should love Allah and die for the love of Allah. Number two, With the iman is not enough. Anybody can sway us back and forth with the vacuum. We have to study Sharia. And the Islamic Sharia, the totality of Islam, we have to learn it from those who know it. Number three, we have to go and seek for the teacher who should teach us. But he should not be acting as a teacher only. He should act as a murabbi for us. You know what is a murabbi? You fathers and mothers, you are murabbi for your babies and your children. And we need somebody who will act as a murabbi for us. He will tell us, sit down, stand up, stand, go, go, come, come. For the love of Allah, not for the sake of ego. A murabbi, for the love of Allah, he has to train us, mold us, shape us, and make us really to practice Islam. None of us should have ego. How could you dare, you ra'id? Who, you have BA, whatever, BA or MA, whatever. I have PhD, I have MD, I'm better than you. Khalas. That's the wildest animal life that we are living. No, we need somebody who will act like a murabbi for us. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have a father. He died before he was born. Why? So as he will not say, Abi, 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 Abi. No, he used to say, Rabbi, Rabbi. He said, Addabani Rabbi fa ahsana ta'dibi. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who trained me, who mailed me, who shaped me, who made me what I am. In Arabic, they say, "Lawla al-murabbi ma araftu rabbi." Were it not for that murabbi, I wouldn't have recognized who is Allah. We need somebody like a murabbi to act as a murabbi, to come and teach us Islam and be a role model for us, not only to talk. A murabbi means he has to take us and to the washroom and show us how we clean the washroom. This is what I say to the Muslim. If you are not ready to go with me to the washroom and clean the washroom, you are not good. Class number one and step number one is to know how to clean the washroom, then the kitchen, then the masjid, then take the garbage, go outside, then come and study your Islam, and then go and deliver the message of Islam. If we are not ready to do it, this, okay, go stay like this. I had to go all the way to Hong Kong to give the Islamic Sharia class in a crash course for 5 days from morning till evening. I had judges, I have lawyer, I had PhDs, I have Arabs, I have Chinese, I had Australian, I had British, I have English, French and whatnot. We're sitting in the class daily from morning till 10 o'clock. While I'm teaching a course here in California, 14 weeks. When they finish with attendance, and whoever does not attend 3 times, get out of here, you are not fit for the course. And when you graduate with final exam and take home exam, you go for the advanced course. When you finish the advanced course 14 weeks, you go for the graduate course. When you finish the graduate course, come and study with me how to become a frontliner, a da'iyah, a khatib, how to officiate marriage, how to take care of the family counseling, how to bury people, how to do this, how to do that. We don't have it. Who's going to do this for us? Unless we have a murabbi to help us. If you are not ready to do this, I cannot help to say we are still a long way to go. But I'm sure tonight something is going to come. I have great hope. By looking at your faces, seeing you smiling and nodding your face, I'm sure something beautiful is going to come tonight. And I hope and I pray when we go to tonight and tomorrow, let's hear something good in order that we will deliver the message of Islam all over the world, inshallah. Can you tell us more about Salat al-Hajjah? Don't you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many of you doesn't need Allah? Nobody. How many of you do need Allah? Oh, mashallah. How many of you hope to go to Jannah? So you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything and everything. Salat al-Hajjah, when I need something, I cannot go to you and tell you, help me. You are like me, human being. I should go to the Creator who created you and me and say, Allah, please help me. Salat al-Hajjah, listen, while you are being served food, Salat al-Hajjah is to wake up 1 hour before Fajr. Pray 12 rak'ah. Between every 2 rak'ah, after you finish every 2 rak'ah, you raise your hands and plead your case to Allah. Salat is a regular, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. You pray, read Fatiha and another surah, anything. After you finish 2 rak'ah, salamu alaykum, salamu alaykum, stay as you are, raise your hand and talk to Allah. Why? Why I should raise my hand? Listen, hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inna Allah hayy yastahi عندما يرى عبده رافعا يديه إلى السماء ويقول يا رب يا رب أن يرده خائبة. رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في معركة بدر he raised his hand like this. Armpit was shown, his abaya fell down. Abu Bakr told him, why you are crying too much? Take it easy. By raising your hands to Allah like this, Allah will take care of you. Number two, the closest position to talk to Allah is while you are making sajda. أقرب ما يكون العبد من ربي وهو ساجد. After you finish raising hand, talking to Allah, go back and put your face on the floor and cry. Brothers told me, I cannot cry. I said, you have to cry. They tell me, babies cry and women cry. I said, you are lucky, sister. You know how to cry. And you know, when you cry, you bring tears. You bring your neurological diseases out. You live longer, happier. You don't have heart attack. These brothers have heart attack because they don't know how to cry. I said, you brothers, you should know how to cry. If you don't know how to cry, you have to go to Mecca and make Umrah or Hajj and put your hands at the Kaaba, and then you find yourself you are crying. But sister, when you cry for Allah, not for worldly affairs. Now, therefore, make Salat al-Hajj. Why 1 hour before Fajr? At 24 hours, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. He can listen. I said, yes, but Allah says in the Quran, وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. At the time of Sahar, that is the time of istighfar. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make it 100 times. Astaghfirullah al-Azim, Astaghfirullah al-Azim, Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Why at istighfar at the time of Sahar? Because Hadith Qudsi, إن الله عز وجل يتجلى على عباده في الثلث الأخير من الليل ويقول يا عبادي هل من مستغفر فأغفر له؟ يا عبادي هل من تائب فأتوب عليه؟ يا عبادي هل من سائل فأعطيه؟ هل من مريض فأشفيه؟ هل من فقير فأغنيه؟ يا عبادي and so on and so forth. At the time of Sahar is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exalt himself and say, oh my creatures, aren't you in need of me? I'm ready to give you. You want money, I'll give you. You want health, I'll give you. You want your problem to be solved, I'm ready to give it, but it has to be from you at the time of Sahari time. Then you finish it with Salat al-Fajr. On one condition, if you don't pray 5 times a day, your Salat al-Hajj is useless. You have to be among those who pray 5 times a day. Then you cry to Allah. Unless you make tawbah, salati tawbah. Suppose I did not pray 5 times a day. Now I want to start making 5 times a day. I say, make first salati tawbah. Tawbah, you know the Indo-Pakistani, tawbah, 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 tawbah. Tawbah, 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 khalas. So, tawbah, 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 tawbah. Yani make a tawbah means repentance and ask Allah forgiveness to guide you that you will not be lazy. Now, then you go for haja. Now, suppose I did this prescription to many brothers and sisters. So many, even Hindus, Buddhists, Christians, came to me for Hajj. And some Muslims were out of a job for 5 years. 5 years, no job. I gave them Salat al-Hajj, not from me, from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know what happened to them? They had 3 jobs. They said, what should I do? I was out of a job for 5 years. He said, what can I do now? I have 3 offers. I said, now you have to make Salat al-Istikhara. Istikhara, which is the best I should select? And some of them, mashallah, selected the best. Suppose now the young brothers and sisters who are unmarried, you have to make Salat al-Hajj. Please, Ya Allah, send a nice man to my daughter. And the daughter should say, please, Ya Allah, send me a nice husband who will be good husband for me and good father for my children. And if and when Allah send you 3-4 young men proposing to your daughter, what should you do? Salat al-Istikhara. And the reverse is true. You brothers, when you are really have no one offering you and you made Salat al-Hajj and now you found 3 girls from whom to select, make Salat al-Istikhara and Allah will select the best thing for you. Is it okay? Is it okay or some more about Hajj or Istikhara or Tawbah? 3 salawat. Tawbah means we ask Allah repentance, forgiveness for our silly mistakes that we are not performing exactly what Allah said. Number 2, Salat al-Hajj. I need you, Ya Allah, please. But don't put Allah on the spot now, 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 now. Many Muslims come to me and say, I prayed, Allah did not listen. And no, He listened to you. But if He gives it now, you'll be spoiled. He is delaying you. I said, remember, Zakariya alayhi salam, he prayed, he raised his hand. Immediately while he is raising his hand in Salat, Allah answered him. He said, yes, don't worry, Zakariya, your wife is going to conceive and have a baby boy without CAT scan, without ultrasound, without anything. And she was 80 years old, and she was to bear a boy whose name should be Yahya. Ibrahim alayhi salam prayed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Mecca, Ya Allah, bring from Ismail a good prophet. You tell me that Allah did not accept the dua of Ibrahim? Yes, but how long? 2,800 years later, he brought him Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you want me to wait for 2,800? I said, no, but don't put Allah on the spot. Say, Allah, you know when it should come to me. Leave it to Allah, then Allah will give it to you as a surprise. So Salat al-Tawbah, Awda ila Allah. Salat al-Hajah, I need Allah to help me for my business, for my marriage, for my problem, for my anything. Yes. And even if your wife is not conceiving, pray to Allah so Allah will make her to conceive. Then later in Salat al-Istikhara, when you are confused what to do, make Salat al-Istikhara. And now you go and enjoy your eating, huh? Fill your stomach, but don't fill it, huh? Don't overeat, huh? Eat the least. Please make sure not a single piece of rice will be put into the garbage. Otherwise, that one piece of rice is going to charge you in the Day of Judgment. Not a piece of bread, not a piece of anything will be put in the garbage. Did I make myself clear, huh? Nothing. I might sit at the door and the garbage area and look in the garbage area. If there is anything, then all what we have done tonight, down. So let's be grateful to Allah. And Siyam, Ramadan, and Shawwal taught us so many things, how to restrain ourselves from overeating. May Allah bless you and reward you, Sheikh Raed.